In the Eastern Orthodox Catholic Church, there is a tradition of what is called iconography. Iconography is not just, I think if you asked most people, what is an icon, immediately you think of computers. But that's not what an icon is. An icon, the word icon comes from the Greek, and it means an image. But in the Greek tradition of Christianity, the image is a window into the reality of the heavens. Whenever you go into an Eastern church, whether it's a Catholic, Eastern Catholic church, because there are Eastern Catholic churches that are united to Rome, and then there are Eastern Orthodox that are not united to Rome. But as Pope John Paul II would say, that we breathe, the church breathes with two lungs, the Church of the East and the Church of the West. They are as Catholic as we are. But when you go to the Eastern Orthodox churches, you see icons. And when you enter into the spirituality of an icon, it looks into your soul. And you are looking into a window through which you are entering into just a little bit of what heaven is like. I say this to you because one of the moments in the Mass when I find the most unnerving of the Mass is when I stand here and I stare at his face. Now, this icon of Jesus, if you ever get close to it, it is unnerving. Because if you stare into the eyes of Jesus, he is staring back at you. No matter from which position you look at this, whenever I stand there and get ready to pick up the gospel so that I can do this, it literally, I kind of shake a little bit because I feel like someone is looking inside of me. And it is because of who this is. What I want to do today is to spend some time talking to you about who this is. Now, everybody would say, well, of course it's Jesus. Yes, I know. But I think sometimes we forget who exactly this is. The second reading spent a lot of time telling you who this is. And I want us to go through that because in the word Catholic, there's a lot of depth that tells you about who Jesus is. As a matter of fact, the word Catholic is first and foremost used of Jesus. Now, I know people will say, what? The moment I say Jesus is the Catholic, he is Catholic. Now, let me explain. Listen to this, and I want you to listen to it carefully about what it's saying about Jesus. Christ Jesus. This is from Colossians. Christ Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in Him were created all things, in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. He is before all things. And in Him, all things hold together. Now, I hope you're listening to this. What is being said here, if you think it through, it makes me shake when I think it through. He, Jesus, is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He Himself might be preeminent. For in Him all of the fullness was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile all things for Him, making peace through the blood of His cross. Through Him, whether those on earth or those in heaven. Now, when you read something like that, that's what gives me, and I'm going to unpack it a little better for you. But the older I've gotten, the more I, you know how we use the word, how today we use the word awesome? Like people go to a movie and say, oh, that was so awesome. Okay? Or a restaurant, oh, that was awesome. Okay? I do it sometimes. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry because the word awesome is really should be reserved for an encounter with the divine. It is an encounter with a reality of such depth that it leaves you breathless. It takes your breath away. It is full of awe. That's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, is to be filled with awe in God's presence. Now, let me give you a little bit of a key, because my homily today is based on that reading, on the second reading, not on the gospel, on the second reading. Let me give you just a little bit of how I read a book a long time ago that has helped me to understand the enormity of whenever I face Jesus. And that's why whenever I face Him in that icon, He, in a good way, scares the bejeebies out of me. Because I figure, I kind of understand who it is I'm looking at and who's looking at me. Now, I'm going to use the word Catholic, because I don't think we as Roman Catholics understand the beauty and the awesomeness of that word, Catholic. So, let me start out by giving you what you would normally expect from me. And what you would normally expect from me is an etymology. I always tell you where words come from. The word Catholic, if you ask most Catholics, what is the word Catholic? They would say to you, well, it means universal. Yeah. But no, that's not a very good translation. You see, the word Catholic comes from two Greek words. Now, I wish I had a board in here, but so you'll have to draw it in your mind. Split into two words, and in your mind, the first word is kato, K-A-T-O, kato. And then the second word is holos, H-O-L-O-S, kato, holos, kato, holos. Now, the words kato means in reference to or concerning in Greek. Kato, in reference or concerning. Holos means the fullness, the entire thing. That's where we get the word whole, W-H-O-L-O-L-E, whole. It comes from the Greek word holos, holos. So if you take kato, now in your mind, take the word kato and bring them together to almost like as if they were one word, you get K-A-T-O-H-O-L-O-S, katoholos. Now notice what's happening here in that word. There are two O's, the end of kato and the second letter of holos, separated by an H, which is kind of silent. And so over time, what happens is that those two O's become merged into one and the H disappears since it tends to be silent. And so what do you know, like in Texas, we don't say, you all come back, right? What do you say? Y'all, y'all. Well, now the Greeks began, instead of saying katoholos, concerning the whole, they began to say katholos, katholos, which basically means concerning the whole. Now, why would they say that? Well, they would say that because in their experience of Jesus, Jesus is katholos. Jesus is the basis of Catholic. Now, why? The book that I read a long time ago gave me a very interesting little diagram or pictogram that I want to draw in your mind. And remember, the objective of this homily is to get you to understand the awesomeness of Jesus. So what's the diagram? I want you to imagine a cross in your head. Imagine a cross. And at the end of each cross, put an arrow head. Now, at the center of the cross, where the two lines intersect, I want you to put the face or the name of Jesus at the center. Now, if you look at the name of Jesus and follow the line up, with the line pointing to the top. What that is saying is that Jesus is the katholos, the for allness of God. Now think about this. What we are saying as Christians is that Jesus is, and did you hear it in the reading from Colossians and in the beginning of the Gospel of John, that Jesus is God himself. Jesus is the fullness of God. Jesus is the katoholosness of God. There is no, we're not waiting. You know, that's the big, one of the big differences between us and Islam. For us, Jesus is God himself. That is the very definition of a Christian. We understand that God became human. That's why I remember when one of the disciples says to Jesus, "Show us the Father." Jesus answers him, "Have I been with you for so long and you still do not know me?" It's the Father talking to him. There is no difference. There are three persons, but it is one God. Jesus is, and I'm going to use a word here, the Catholicity of God. Meaning, he is the fullness of God present in front of you. Now, take the arrow that goes down, and with the arrow head pointing down. What does that signify? Jesus is the katholos of humanity. What does that mean? It means that Jesus is the fullness of what a normal human being ought to be. He is the only normal human being. The rest of us are screwed up. Okay? The rest of us are totally messed up. When you look at Jesus, you're looking at a human being the way human beings were supposed to be. That's why we call ourselves Christians. We call ourselves Christians because the first step in being a Christian is saying, "I'm so screwed up, I need to learn how to be human. And I'd like to learn how to be human from the guy who has the pattern of being human." In Jesus, humanity, the way it's supposed to be, is staring back at you. Now notice, Jesus is the Catholicity of God, the fullness of God, and Jesus is the Catholicity of human, the fullness of being human. Now, what about these two other arms? The left arm represents time. Did you notice that in Colossians, and as well as in the Gospel of John, it says, "In him all things were created. He is before all else that is." In Jesus, time began. Time is a creature of God. Time was created by God the Father through Jesus. He is the beginning of time. The Greeks used to like to say that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. Those are the two letters, the beginning and the end of the Greek alphabet. That's why sometimes you'll see an Alpha and an Omega that are put together in the middle of a cross. Because what it's telling you is that time itself as a creature, and this is something that physicists are starting to learn more and more, that time is a creature that has been created in God, in Christ. And so the line that points this way of the cross in your mind is telling you that Jesus is the katoholos of time. He is the beginning and the end. He is the fullness of time. There is no time that is not in him. There you have the left. Jesus is the Catholicity of time. Notice where this is going. Jesus is the Catholicity of God, the fullness of God. Jesus is the Catholicity of humanity. He is the fullness of what it means to be human. Jesus is the Catholicity of time. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And then the other one. The other arrow that goes to the right, and that is space. Jesus is the Catholicity of space. What does that mean? All things, the universe was created in him. It was created for him. And it was created through him. Not one molecule of existence in this whole universe is outside of God, is outside of Christ in God. He is the fullness of the universe. That's why sometimes when I hold up the host after the consecration before communion, I say, "Behold Jesus. Behold the heart and the center of the universe." That, what I'm saying is, behold the Catholicity of space, that in Jesus all space and time, all humanity and all divinity is present. That's the Catholicity. So Jesus is the Catholicity of time and space. Notice, where do we get the word Catholic? Because the center of our faith, the center of who we are, is the Spirit of Christ dwelling upon you. And the Spirit of Christ, which in the Spirit of the Eucharist, you will take inside yourself. You are taking the being inside yourself that is the fullness of God, the fullness of humanity, the fullness of time, and the fullness of space. That's awesome. That is awesome. It should scare, well, we're in church, but it should scare the bejeebies out of you. I know it does me. Now, the reason I go like, because I notice, you know, people go, I'm going, do you know what you're doing? Sometimes I want to take people and just go, because we just don't get it. I'll finish with telling my favorite story. My favorite story is Moses. I love this. Do you remember when the story of Moses, that Moses is called by a burning bush, a bush that burns but does not destroy? That's a very interesting note, by the way. It is a fire. Normally, what does fire do? Fire destroys. But notice the burning bush. The burning bush does not destroy. The presence of God, when he enters humanity or he enters reality, he enters with the symbol of the power of fire. But it is not a fire that is destructive. The bush is actually glowing, in a sense of being at a higher level of bushness. Okay? It's just, and it's just glowing. And Moses sees this strange sight of this burning bush that is not being destroyed. And he walks up to it. And from the bush, he hears the voice that says, "Moses, come no further. Take off your shoes, for you are on holy ground." Now think about it. What do shoes do? Shoes separate you from reality to a certain extent. You're able to put pads on the bottom of your feet so you don't have to come up in contact with the reality of the ground that you are stepping on. It allows you to be the boss. You can walk anywhere. You don't have to worry because you have padding and you're in command of where you walk. That's why God says to Moses, take off your shoes. You are on holy ground. You must be in touch with where I am. And then God says to Moses, Go to Israel. Go to my people. And you go to Pharaoh. And you say to him, the Lord God says, set my people free. And Moses, you can imagine Moses standing there going, okay, whatever you say. And then when he's almost finished, this is my favorite part. Moses says to God, and who should I say is sending me? In other words, what's your name? Who should I say is sending me? And God says, I am. You can imagine Moses going, say again. I am. You are what? Notice what's happening here. There's a subject and there's a verb. There's no object. There's no object. You can literally say, God is nothing. God is no thing. You can't put a thing. God is not a thing like other things. His name is I Am. Now put that together with Catholicity, and it should scare the bejeebies out of you. And so, when I just did that, when I just looked into his eyes, he did it again. He literally scares me. He scares me in a good way. Because he scares me because that man is not a normal man. He is a normal man, but he is God. And when he looks into my soul, he looks into the truth of me. And I'm always a little nervous when I look into the truth of me, as I think all of us should be, just a tiny bit nervous about looking into the truth of yourself. But no need to worry, because ultimately, he loves you. He's not there to destroy you. And that's the other thing I get, because immediately, when I stand in front of him and I start looking in his eyes and he starts looking at me, I immediately start thinking of my sins. And you know what I hear him say? I hear him say, cut it out. Cut it out. My encounter with you is not so that you'll look at the worst part of you. My encounter with you is to tell you that I love you, even though you're a total screw up. That's what he says to me. So it starts with fear, but it ends with, cut it out. I love you no matter how and what you are. I don't know about you folks. That's awesome. That's awesome.